Hello and welcome back to the Hidden Healing Podcast. Before we get started, I wanted to share some things that I had been thinking about, some behind the scenes, so that you can know and understand more about me and my process and who I am. So I was just reviewing my blog that I originally started in 2009, and that was the first time that I said that I needed more and I wanted more, and I thought maybe a blog was the answer. And so I tried to do a 30-day blog, but one thing about someone with CPTSD is that consistency is not my strong suit. I recorded the podcast off and on over the last, since 2009, however many years that is. I knew that at some point I would go back to it and use it for material in whatever I did in the future. But this podcast that I'm doing now and referring back to things and talking about my life is very triggering for me. So it's a lot of work. And some examples are, for instance, when I do go to record my podcast, I need my stomach to be full, because then that's like one of the senses that I have that, okay, we're calm, we're okay, life is gonna be okay, our belly is full. In fact, since starting my podcast, I have gained somewhere around 10 pounds. I'm going to continue this podcast, but it brings a lot of anxiety. Another example is that on Sunday, when I post the podcast, I go to bed like at 2 or 3 in the morning and then sleep till 10 or 11. And the next day I wake up, I am so emotionally exhausted. You probably have heard flight or fight. Fawn or freezer fawn. And I go into the freeze mode where all day Monday, there's like, I can't do anything. I don't want to do anything. And even I have a plan to go to the gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I went to the gym the last couple times. And on Mondays, when I'm supposed to be there working out, I can't get myself to work out. And I'm there. And so I do the infrared treatment, and I do the massage bed and then the massage table, and I walk on the treadmill for 15 minutes. Can't get myself to work out. So these are a couple of ways that I'm seeing it. My stress level is high. Some of you may relate to this. I have like a baseline of stress where I'm always at. Last couple of years hasn't been too bad, but since starting my podcast, that baseline has gone up a little bit. And my kids are frequently asking me, why are you grumpy? What's going on? What's got you triggered? And so this is taking a lot out of me. I did speak to another friend. She mentioned that she releases her podcast. She has her own physical triggers that happen in her body. And so it's very hard and stressful on her as well. I'm not alone in this, and I know it, and this journey is going to be so worth it in the end. There is no growth if you can't get out of your comfort zone. Not where I want to be. I want to grow and grow and grow. And so I know that it's going to be uncomfortable for a little while. And I'm asking you to bear with me, because I know that this podcast, number one, I don't even have official intro. I don't have the music for the beginning and the end and all of that stuff, which when I had my last podcast, I did have that on there. But I felt so overwhelmed and like I wouldn't be able to begin that I just decided to go for it. So again, I hope that you bear with me. I hope that we can get through this together. I told a group of people, I said, you know, if you don't listen to my podcast because you're not the person that I'm speaking to, that's okay. But you should at least listen to my podcast so that you know that if I can do this, you can do this. And I think that's the truth. And I think that's what I'm learning. So my favorite person in the whole world, Kathy Heller, says you gotta give yourself permission to be bad before you can be good. And that's what I'm here doing. And so I appreciate you guys following me along. I'm super, super, super ecstatic that a lot of you are listening. And that means so much to me. I cannot tell you how much. So thank you for that. So getting started today, I'm going to read an entry in my blog, which is was kind of my journal at the time, and this was published in 2016. It says, in case you don't know, I'm watching the BBC show Call the Midwife. That is why the title is this. And the title of this blog entry was My Lovely Mum, and it's, you know, a British show, so. And then it continues, but really, who else causes my world to shift and change so much? Who else causes my heart to hurt so much? And who else in my life gives me reason to take meds for stress? Yep, my lovely mum. Sometimes I can tell things are building up in me, but I can't always recognize the same in my mom. I did notice things change in how she's been around us and the frequency. I just didn't understand what it all meant. Then my mom's only local friend says that my mom told her that my mom was moving to be with her sister in another state. and I played it cool for as long as I needed. Now, though, I am hurt at heart. I feel sad and betrayed. I get this locked up feeling in my throat and my chest. It feels as if though I can no longer speak the things of my heart. Oh, normal stuff comes out, but the underground spring that is bubbling up has no way out. This blog is truly an old friend giving my voice and feelings an outlet. On one hand, my mom is a full-grown adult capable of taking care of her own needs. Yet there's the other part of her that still seems broken. Now, why is it that when she is with me, she only seems broken? When she severs her physical connection with me and she steps up and takes care of herself. I guess that should be a loud and clear message. The thing is, even when she cares for herself, she seems broken. She just keeps moving. I feel like what I'm offering her is a safe place to be taken care of when necessary, with the opportunity for the freedom of her own life and home. Even living with us, I have pleaded with her to get a job that would give her the money to pay off her debt and have a few nice things. But with her, it's all or nothing. And when it comes to this, she never makes a graceful exit, but always insists on a dramatic exit. I would be so happy for her if she came to me and she said she was leaving to stay with my aunt. I would even help her if she needed. I would welcome her back when the time came. The way she does it, she is being helped to get away from her present awful situation. Then when the time comes to return, I will no doubt be called to save her from her awful situation. The real problem is movement distracts her from facing real life, and so she doesn't face real life. Plus, I will miss her. I expect her to be near me because she has nowhere else to be and no one else that feels the loss of her presence in her absence. I do. I love her so much. I want her near me. I want her a part of my life. But she must go. I guess I shouldn't be sad. It is a break. I get to be a big girl without question. I get to change the energy in the house the way I like it. I get to have more space. I guess ideally, I should work on a place for her to return to that is not directly in my home. I guess I will turn to that. Well, already my throat is clear and my chest is lighter. Not all the way, but a little. I remember the day I made that blog entry. That was kind of like all coming to a head in our relationship. She had moved from California to West Virginia and was living with me, which in our relationship, since I got married, she had lived with me a few years already. That wasn't the first time. And I was always more than willing to do whatever it took to help her out and let her live with us or whatnot. We had a very codependent relationship, and I don't think I was quite aware of it. It's funny because I had read the book, I don't know if it was back in the 90s, Codependent No More. And so I knew about codependency, and I applied that book to my sister who, when I was a teenager, I was codependent in a codependent relationship with her. I don't think it was, as negative of a relationship. It was still, there was a lot of codependency, but the result didn't feel as negative as with my mom. And I think the problem was I was already in my probably mid to late 30s, and she was living here. And instead of, you know, being a guest in the home or being grandma, she was still being my mom, and she was still being my husband's mom and telling us, you know, what to do and how to do things. And I was still majorly depressed, and I couldn't do those things for myself, let alone someone else. So I was miserable, and it was awful. There had been many times in our relationship that things started feeling that way. And I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to change it. But I would feel that feeling in my throat get so tight, and I couldn't talk. And I had felt like I had no choice, that I was not a valid human being, that I was not a grown-up person. And it was so frustrating. And that's what I want to talk about today, is codependency. Everybody's codependent relationship isn't the same. There was a lot of people who think that codependency has to do with someone being a alcohol or drug abuser. You know, that's not the case. Also, codependent relationships may be being more related to abusive relationships. There's so many different kinds of codependency. And there's even something called overfunctioning, which is kind of like a person who does a lot. Like they might be, you know, the CEO of a company, or they might be the manager over a lot of people, but they're overfunctioning because they are like doing all of the things in their life plus taking care of someone else. So at this point, I kind of want to talk about what is codependency, because I think that's an important question to answer so that we can kind of take a look into our own lives and see if there's any of that in our life. And my thought is that if you've had childhood trauma, if you had, you know, you have a high score on the ACEs test, a lot of the ACEs in your life as a child, that you probably were likely to develop a caretaking personality or trait. You probably had a parent or whoever was the authority in your life, the people who were supposed to take care of you. And you probably got the message from them somewhere that it was your job to take care of them. And that in order to be loved, you needed to do this and you needed to toe the line. You needed to be perfect. There was no room for error. And that comes across in a lot of different ways for children. But I know that many of us who have been raised in that kind of environment have that. So I'm guessing that if you're here and listening to this podcast, that might include you too. So let's define that right now. So I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist. I'm just someone who had these problems and learned how to overcome it. So I'm not going to go to the medical books and get you the definition. So here's what codependency means to me. You believe that you're responsible for how other people feel. And so if you think that you're responsible for how someone else feels, then it's really painful for you and scary to see someone else struggle. And so you do your best to always try to make sure that the people who you're codependent with, the people in your life who a lot of times will be more than one person, is always okay. And that if they're uncomfortable in any way, that you're there to take care of it. The thing about it is, a lot of times it gets to the point where you're overly invested in other people's lives to the point of ignoring your own well-being. And that was me. So in my life with my mom living with us, if you notice in the blog, I said, when she's not living with me, when she's somewhere else, like at one point I was in Sacramento and she went to take care of my grandpa in Southern California. And, she had a job, she worked, she did all the things in life, right? She took care of herself. She even like sent us, my sister and I, presents, clothes and different stuff from stores she worked at or whatnot. And she was okay. I don't know if you noticed in there, my codependence was really coming out. I was like, how can she be okay when she's by herself, but when she's with me, she's not? Yeah, we definitely played off of each other. There was a lot of things, a lot of signs that I should have seen, like her telling me how to run my own household, you know, things like that, telling me like I was a child how, you know, to go wash my hands or go put something away or take off my shoes before I come in my own house, things like that. And the uncomfortable pain that I was in, that I was on medication, and I didn't understand that it was codependent and that I needed to make boundaries, make a stand. I didn't even honestly think that boundaries was really in my awareness at that point in time. So signs of codependent person are lack of boundaries, or you're unable to make boundaries with other people. Have you ever said, I don't want to unfriend them because what if they find out? Or how do I tell this person no, that I don't want to do that? Or, well, I better say yes, because if I don't do it, who's going to do it? Very, very poor boundaries. Low self-esteem. Often the person is a caretaker, even when it's not necessary. I don't judge me. Please don't judge me. I remember when my first son was in kindergarten, he wouldn't do his homework. He was very adamant about not doing his homework. And honestly, he got all the way through high school, didn't do his homework. And I remember being like at my wit's end and like crying and being like, you have to do your homework. And I remember doing his homework for him in kindergarten. Like, how did I not think the teacher would know or something? He said, you know, he was used to that. And then I think he was in sixth or seventh grade, and one of his teachers wrote that they liked his, you know, I liked your paper, and you used a lot of words that are very, you know, advanced, and that's awesome. Maybe next time ask your mom not to do your homework, or don't let your mom do your homework. And he actually told me that story today, because we were talking about this episode being created. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that I did that. And I literally did. Okay. Codependence, you know, it's always, you're always having to take care of someone else so that they don't get in a mess, or so that their life is not in disorganization or disarray. You need to control. That's another one. So if I can control everything around me, I know what to expect, and I don't have any situations that are out of my control that I cannot help someone who needs help, like one of my kids or my mom or one of my, you know, close friends. Difficulty making decision, trouble identifying your own thoughts or feeling. A lot of times all the things that we like and think about are based on someone else. Chronic anger or strong emotional reactions, flying off the handle, feeling like, you know, people are unappreciative of all that you do, or feeling like a bitterness towards people because they don't even care about you and after all you've done for them. And this is a situation that I found myself in, helping people who don't ask for help. But you see there's a problem, and you are one of those instant fixers. So you go and fix the problem. And then, like, for instance, you go, they, someone, they don't have a house. They're homeless right now, and they're staying with a friend, and they have been told they have to move out. And they're like, I have no money. And so you scrape together the money for their down payment. And then you find out they went and spent it on a vacation. I haven't literally done that, but that's literally a situation that I heard, and just recently in the past month, and I was like, did they ask you for the money? No, but you wanted to help them because they were family, you know? And then because you helped them with something they didn't ask for, and they weren't appreciative of it, and instead of giving you back the money and being like, I found a place, I'm staying with my boyfriend, they just went on a 3-day weekend with your money. Now, I've kind of identified what it looks like in my life and all the examples in my life of what codependency looks like, and on all levels. And I want to now talk about some of the major problems with it, two specifically. Now, the first one is the overfunctioning, and that's what a lot of codependent people do, is they are overfunctioning. They're living their life and doing their job and everything in it. Plus, they're hyper-vigilant, hyper-aware of what's going on all around them, like keeping track of all the conversations around them in case someone needs help, and knowing where everyone's at and what they're doing in their household in case they need help, and making sure that, you know, even if your husband's home and could take care of the kids, that you have everything lined out so he doesn't have to do much. And doing all of the things like that is so exhausting, and it's such an energy thief. And when you overgive like that, and when you're doing too much, it wears you down, and it wears your body down, and it wears just overall your general well-being. And when you get to that point of ignoring your own well-being, you know that there's a problem. If you're taking medicine because someone's in your life, you know that there is a problem. The second issue I want to talk about is the self-abandonment and the self-betrayal that is involved in codependency. So we talked about before that when you were a child, when I was a child, I got the message that I had to take care of the people around me so that I could be loved. That was my place. That was my job. And there were times I felt like that about my mom. And of course, she didn't know I felt that way. And she didn't try to make me feel that way on purpose, but that's the message I got regardless. And I learned that if I was myself, if I was truly who I am, that it was unsafe. I learned that if I asked for my needs to be met, that it was unsafe. And so I learned how to totally abandon myself. And I thought this was the only way to get love. And there's something called the compulsion to repeat. And it's an unconscious thing that we do, kind of create the same situations. And so oftentimes we marry someone who is, I guess, the opposite of us, so that we can be in a familiar relationship with familiar patterns. You know, so if we grew up feeling unseen, unheard, and helpless, we marry someone who's gonna help us to feel that way, because that's what we're used to, right? And that's not really cool, because then you end up like me, you know, at 30. I wish I could had time to read you my other journal entry where I said I have everything I've always wanted, and yet I feel like I have to have more, and I'm not satisfied, and I feel so unappreciative of my wonderful life, but I feel so empty inside. And the reason that you could end up that way is because when you learned to abandon yourself, that was to keep you safe. And you never rewrote the program that says you are safe now and it is okay to figure out who you are and to be yourself. And so that is the second problem. And if that's you, at some point in time, you have probably had that voice and you tell yourself that there's something more that you wanted. And probably like a point, a breaking point in time or something in your life where you were like, there has to be more or this is just going to kill me. So I have two people specifically in my life and my mom, all three of these people. One of my friends, I thought that I was going to grow in a different direction than her and that we were going to separate. And we kind of had tension between us anyways, because I was unhappy with myself and I was in a codependent relationship with her. And I started just saying how I was feeling and how I wanted things to change between us. And I cannot tell you what a beautiful, beautiful person she is, because she said, yeah, I kind of noticed that you've changed. And okay, well, from now on, I won't give you my advice unless you ask me. And that was so refreshing and new. And it has allowed us to continue our relationship just with new rules, right? And there came a point in my marriage several years ago. And it was kind of like, I just looked at my husband and I said, I can tell you that I love you and that I'm not going anywhere, but this is not working for me. And I don't want to sleep with you anymore. And I don't want to be with you anymore. And I just need to be alone. And another beautiful human being in my life, Justin, my husband, he said, I hear you. And I'm going to give you the space, but we need to work this out. We need to talk. And now I told myself I wasn't going to cry, but this man, my husband, he allowed me the space in my own house, in my own bedroom, and in my own, just everything. And he left me alone for a couple months. And then he came back and said, okay, you've had time. Has that been enough? And can we start working on things? Can we start talking? That's all we did for like the next 3 to 6 months, is talk and try to work things out and try to figure out what I needed and where I was at. And it meant a lot of growth and change for him. But guess what? He did it. He was willing to do it. And I cannot tell you how much that means to me. Whew. And he's such a loyal person and I love him so much. Both of us had stuff to work on, because obviously codependency is not just one-sided, right? The other person has to sign onto the agreement of the relationship. And so we both found the ways that we needed to be seen and heard and felt. And both of us grew up not feeling those things. So for both of us to be seen and heard and appreciated, it was a lot of work, but we did it. And then, like I mentioned, my mom, for her and I, it's been a lot harder and a lot longer, but that makes sense since I've been in the relationship with her the longest. She has her own place and she has her own life. It's really awesome. And I get to be her daughter who doesn't live with her and doesn't have to be subject to her. And she has made all the changes as well. And we have learned how to talk to each other. But let me tell you how much work it has been. It's not easy. There have been so many times that we went out together to do something and came back and both felt defeated. And there have been so many times that I acted because I was triggered and I went into an old pattern. And she said, I wasn't going to do that, Celeste. I wasn't trying to go into the old pattern, and I couldn't stop myself from doing it. And then after resting for a day, I had to call her up and apologize and say, I see how that was all me. Well, I hope you use those three examples to prove to yourself that even if you are in a codependent relationship, it doesn't have to end. You can find ways to grow together and make it healthy. And if you're both willing to, that will work. But also, there are times when we've changed and we've learned that we need boundaries, and the people who signed onto the relationship with us are not willing to change it. And sometimes that means that we do move on. And that's hard. And I know that feels scary. But the truth of the matter is, you can do so much. You are so strong. And you have survived this long. And you're here learning how to change your life. I know that you have it in you to find ways to make boundaries and to make changes. There's so much more to say about this topic, but we're going to leave it right here. It's a good start. It's a lot of information to take in, and it's enough to get you thinking. I appreciate you coming back and listening to the next episode, finding out what I have to say, and watching me do all of this in my very messy way. If you happen to be listening to this on Apple Podcast and you'd like to help us grow by leaving us a review, we would really appreciate it so much. Also, it helps us a lot if you hit the subscribe button, and that also allows you to see when we release a new episode, which is usually on Monday. Spotify users can now leave a rating as well, and if you'd like to do that, I would appreciate that as well. Remember to subscribe. If you have any questions or comments, you can DM me at The Hidden Healing on Instagram. And you guys have a fantastic week. I'll see you back here next week.